Discussion keeps the world turning.
This is Roundtable.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Roundtable, coming to you from Beijing. I'm He Young. Good to have you join us. On today's show, are you tired of DIY disasters and home repair headaches? Join our discussion today as we uncover industry challenges, despite Chinese consumers relishing rather convenient services, and brainstorm solutions for a transformed home maintenance experience. And get ready for some possum updates. Free pet adoption 2.0 is the latest trend in China's pet circles. But hold on to the kibble. Is it genuinely free adoption or purchasing cats on a monthly installment plan? For today's program, I'm joined by Yushun in the studio and Josh Cotterell on the line. First on today's show. For anyone who has ventured out from the comfort of their family home to live independently for the first time, undertaking tasks such as changing a light bulb, replacing the door lock, fixing a leaky faucet, or unclogging a toilet become rites of passage. Fortunately, Chinese consumers have convenient access to professionals who can handle these home maintenance and repair chores with just a phone call or a few taps on their smartphones. In the past, one would have to seek out a local repair person in a physical shop, but thanks to digital platforms offering such services, this process has become streamlined. Despite perceived conveniences and benefits, a recent consumer survey has gathered complaints regarding home maintenance services. So what areas are in need of improvement, Yushun?
So we can see recently the Social Survey Center of China Youth Daily and research platform Wenjuan.com conducted a survey on the household maintenance service industry that's covering 1,000 respondents, and among them, more than 60% are born in the 1990s and 25% are born in the 1980s, and also 10% are born in the 2000s. So it's showing that more and more young people are entering the society now, and they are facing these trivial matters in life. And the results show that the main problem in the industry are the price and service are not transparent enough. And a lot of them are saying it is necessary to strengthen the governance of this industry.
So when we talk about the services of home maintenance and repair, it pretty much refers to specialized tasks such as plumbing, electrical work, HVAC, which refers to heating, ventilation, and air conditioning, repairs, and general maintenance. And these professionals ensure the homes remain functional and safe. Josh, for anybody who's renting or owning property, this is something inevitably one day you will face, right? So what is it like in the UK when let's say you've got a leakage problem or any kind of leakage problem in the house, however trivial it sounds right now, is a major headache if you're facing that in your abode. So tell us.
Yeah. Well, similarly, in my own country, a lot of disputes often arise between landlords or the owner of the building, whether that's a company or a specific person. So the owner and the tenant, and usually the main dispute is about maintenance issues. It's a huge, huge topic. And when it comes to things like rental increases and disputes about rent, there are different channels through which tenants are able to seek, you know, retribution and stuff like this. But it can be very time consuming, extremely stressful, and really it can sort of start to disrupt your life, right? Because you can have something as small as literally physically as tiny as a little hole somewhere, a little leak somewhere in your apartment, or maybe not even in your own apartment, but if you're in a building, maybe the apartment above you, maybe even two or three apartments above you. I had this issue the other day. I had people banging on my door, demanding to go into my bathroom because they needed to spot where a leak was coming from. Not my build, not my apartment, but from somewhere else. So these things are pretty common, I think, all over the world and in my country as well. When it comes to tenant rights, it starts to get kind of complicated, and there's often a bit of a gray area, really, because really landlords need to ensure that properties need to meet safety standards, right? But what is safe, you know, and what's livable? I mean, a lot of these conditions are actually quite subjective, person to person, right? when it comes to it just being livable and safe, I mean, really, it just means that there's, you know, maybe no risk of death or something like that. But that's a very, very low bar, right? You know, there's so many other things that need to be considered here when you consider an abode, an apartment or a house to be livable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that there's similar issues in my own country.
Yeah. And also, I think what you've been mentioning are more about what we can see and what we can come across these maintenance issues. But nowadays, I think more young people are complaining about the personnel that they see when they're having these kind of issues. So more specifically, repair personnel charge additional fees on site or include hidden charges unexpectedly are the things I think most of people are complaining about. Mm-hmm. For example, some repair platforms claim that they're only responsible for dispatching repair personnel and are not responsible for the content of the repair. So when the repair personnel arrive, they can use their own judgment to tell you that, you know, various parts need to be replaced, as well as charging for repairs, etc.
Mm-hmm.
And this makes consumers' rights very unprotected, and they feel unsafe with, you know, just giving their money to these people who are just asking for any kind of price.
Okay, so here comes a question, and actually, I think this is pointing to maybe a shared problem globally. That is basically when there is information asymmetry, when you simply are not the specialist and therefore you don't know what the standard pricing should be. And therefore, when somebody who's a perceived professional and comes to your home and demands a certain amount of money for the service, as well as maybe some of the repair equipment, then how do you tell whether it's a ripoff or it's legit? And I think that's something that we all face as an issue. So thoughts, Josh, about this?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. And I think that my answer is twofold, really. I mean, to some degree, this is a legal issue, and I think that it's really important to know your rights. And I do think that as much as there should be protections in place for people, because there is a lot of specialist things here that are difficult to understand, I think that it is really important that you know your rights. And you have, I think that as an adult living in a home, you probably have some individual responsibility to read up on your rights and understand those and review your lease agreement, you know, document things, keep everything well filed and organized. And I think that off that, you should know your rights, and then you'll be in a better position to, first of all, maybe better predict when something, you know, you might be getting ripped off, but also know if something does happen to you, the rights that you have to maybe claim money back or make a claim against somebody. Hopefully you don't have to do that, but anyway, yeah, so know your rights, read up on your tenant law agreements, etc. I think a couple of tips that I have, just practical tips. One thing that you can do is get multiple quotations. Now, of course, sometimes quotations cost money in themselves, right? So it can be expensive in itself, and it depends on the issue at hand. But if you're paying for this maintenance service yourself, if it's not covered by your landlord, get multiple quotes from different people. You can get a better gauge of the price. Mm. And probably you only have to do this once or twice, because maybe if it's your first apartment, you get multiple quotes for, say, a plumbing issue in your bathroom. Maybe 5 years down the line, you have the same issue. You've got a better idea about how much this costs, right?
So,
because you've already been through this experience. So I think that's something that I would recommend doing as well. And then, yeah, just, I guess, maybe learning a bit about some home DIY stuff as well, not necessarily being able to do it yourself, but being at least familiar with some of these things can also help to protect yourself from maybe being scammed.
Yeah. And here social media comes in really handy, because so many times I see when we are faced with a real life problem and immediately it's like, go to such and such quote unquote trusted platform of yours and then just do a quick search, and then there are people sharing posts about their experience, and then you might be able to get an idea of you know, ballpark wise how much this thing is supposedly gonna cost and how to interact with the professional. People really have a lot of time in their hands, and they like to share all the stuff on the internet, which is kind of useful. And also here, I suppose with the digital platforms, they're supposed to be more helpful as well. Like these days in China, like when you look for a housekeeper or a nanny or whoever provides some kind of specialized service, you're able to find pretty much 9 times out of 10, a designated platform online where you can find these professionals as well as see a short version of their employment history or hiring history and then give reviews. And I find that to be the most powerful tool, also a deterrent of some sort of bad behavior in today's digital world. But that's not enough, apparently, because you're still seeing all these complaints that are flying around, according to the survey.
Yes, and also some of people are also complaining about the quality of these products that these maintenance workers are offering, because actually, even though it is just a leakage of water pipe, we don't understand what kind of a pipe it's in good quality. And also high price of maintenance service and difficulty to guarantee the after-sale service and bad service attitude are all, I think, people are concerning about, because I think it is also related to the nature of this industry. You know, I feel it's very similar to the home renovation industry. It's not a service that we regularly need. Instead, it's something that we might need only like once for a long time. So firstly, consumers may lack these kind of knowledge about these industries. And secondly, they might not want to argue too much with, you know, this one-time fee. So, and as a result, this leads to some repair personnel to, you know, believe that it's okay to charge a high price, or just they give you some kind of products that they think it is okay, but it's not in good quality. And I actually personally experienced this. I hired a plumber to fix a leaking pipe. He asked for a 150 yuan right away because he needed to replace some parts of it. But I told him that you need to show me the invoice for the parts that's replaced, right? I cannot just give you money that you just by saying it. So I wouldn't pay him if he cannot give me the invoice. So as a result, okay, he said, okay, if in that case, I'll charge you 50 yuan.
What?
Yes.
100 yuan difference.
Yes. So that's why some of us consumers need to understand at least, okay, if you cannot give me a list of all of these prices, at least you need to prove me that it was that price.
Okay. Mm. That is interesting. Okay, I'm going to offer a slightly different case scenario. That is, if you're a homeowner and then most likely you will need to pay a property management fee. Mm. That's the 物业费. And usually the house maintenance fee is included there, and therefore you kind of have a janitor person or a repair man, usually it's a man, who lives in your compound or nearby, and then who's in charge of all of these repair matters within the compound. And of course, you probably still need to pay out of pocket if it's a replacement of a certain piece of equipment as such, but there's no manual fee that you need to pay on the spot. And if you know this person and you'll be able to track him down, there's a better chance that this person is going to behave in an ethical way, I suppose. And this is also kind of just assuming the worst out of people, which I really do not like. But sometimes it feels like this is kind of a battle between, you know, the angel and the devil in a person. Because if you don't have the watchful eye of constant supervision and you're kind of just trusting the good heart of this person, or should we say professional ethics, then how can you guarantee good service, right? And I think this is something that a lot of people aren't particularly satisfied with. So is there any way maybe to improve that?
Yeah, well, I think you make a great point. And I know, and I'm sure you guys know as well, that there are situations where people end up having a really good landlord, right? And they have a good relationship with them. And it can make things much easier if manages to be some sort of, I don't know, almost like chemistry between them, in that they don't cause there's no issue between them, and you know, maybe even their rent stays the same for some time, and whenever there's an issue the landlord's really good to them. But the reality is that, as you mentioned, there is an asymmetry of information and there's a power imbalance here. So I mean, what can people do to protect themselves from this? Well, I think that it's probably important that from the very beginning to go in knowing that there is a power imbalance and there is legal complexity, and making sure that you are well protected from the very beginning, as however nice your landlord might be, right? You never know what might happen going down the line. And these things are just too important. Your living situation is more important than your relationship with your landlord, I think. So yeah, I think make sure that you are aware of your rights, as I mentioned before you go into this relationship.
Yes, and also I think that's why a lot of these respondents are saying that we need more clarified regulatory efforts on these. So it is necessary to actually promote some of the industry associations to strengthen some of self-discipline and formulate industry service standards and gradually form reasonable and scientific and standardized operational content and procedures and transparent, fair, and reasonable prices, and also qualification requirements of these business operators and personnels should be also improved. Business training should be strengthened, and the industry should be cleared of those bad players, which means I saw some of the comments saying that they need to have a blacklist of these personnels who have maybe bad attitude or have behavior of, you know, charging extra. Or I'm not saying that charging extra is forbidden. As long as it is needed, it is okay, but you need to charge reasonably.
Also, still, this goes back to my panacea for all service problems that exist. Here's my panacea argument for all services that can be dispatched from an online platform. Build a solid and credible review system. It's like how you review restaurants, how you review everything you buy online. And I think the idea here is that once you're ordering service and you can compare different repair personnel's history on the platform, and you give an honest rating after you've received the service and paid, and then this is how you build a system that everybody can rely on. But if not everyone is chipping in and not the service is particularly credible, let's say you've got people who can buy good comments and ratings as such, then it destroys the credibility and it ruins for the thing for everybody. But I think, okay, I'm proposing, do you think this can be the way to go? On top of, okay, let's talk about regulatory efforts and industry standards, but how to like enforce it is the difficult part.
I think that relies a lot on this platform, because I've seen some of these platforms having the functions that you said, and I don't think they can buy a good review for that. And actually, there are quite a few platforms now that can provide more, I think, transparent services, and their service lists are clear and showing the price of each service and the price of each part that needs to be replaced if it is necessary. And when repair personnel request payment, they will also clearly explain that you can check the relevant list on their websites or something. But the thing is, their prices are generally slightly higher than what we can have normally in some maybe maintenance stores. But when what you save is the, I think, maybe anxiety or your energy or your time that you spend on negotiating with this repair worker and worrying about whether they are overcharging you. So maybe that is kind of the way to go when we feel frustrated by these, I think, overcharging maintenance fees.
Yeah, and I think that it's important to have those options. I think that one of the issues that is the case in my own country is that a lot of these options aren't really very clear, and you don't really have a way to make contact with anybody if something goes wrong. And I think that one of the good things that I found about living in Beijing, at least, is that Beijing is so massive and there are obviously so many people here living in so many building apartments and stuff. And I think that as China starts to sort of digitize more, especially in cities like Beijing, which are obviously very technologically advanced, these kind of issues are becoming slightly easier to deal with. I mean, I've been here for about 7 years now, and I don't speak fluent Chinese. And even for myself, like navigating some of these applications when I have a maintenance issue is way easier now than it was when I first arrived. And it's not even really a language thing. It's just that, you know, if there's an issue, I can see it visually on my app, and there's like buttons to press with like, you know, like an animation of, is it a pipe issue? Is it an electricity issue? And I literally just tap it. And usually the same day, somebody will come round and check up on it. Mm. So I know that there are pros and cons to this, because we are seeing less and less businesses actually existing, and it becoming more difficult for smaller businesses to get involved in this market. But I must say that it's way easier here in Beijing for me than it was ever, even in the United Kingdom.
Yeah, and I was thinking another way is that if you need to repair your appliances, try to find the repair phone number on the device to contact the original manufacturer's repair personnel. This way you can at least ensure their professionalism, and generally they will also have clear pricing on their websites.
Yeah, that I would definitely second. Well, that's, I guess, one of the benefits of buying branded goods. And when it comes to home appliances, let's say it could be a mixer, or it could be your humidifier or your air conditioner, which I had fixed last summer and had an issue, called up the original manufacturer, and it's a big brand. They have a very thorough and certified repair team. And yeah, I've only had good experiences actually with the repair people of specific companies, because they're usually very well managed. And then you even get a customer's review call after they've left a few days later and asking about whether the repair team has been up to snuff with their skills. And with this kind of system in place, I can only say from one consumer's point of view, that is, it's worked quite splendidly in many occasions.
But still, they will charge a little more than...
Okay, it depends whether it's within the warranty time or not. If it's a couple of years later, then of course, you know, it's past that time limit and you'll need to pay some more. And if it can get the thing fixed and it's not way too expensive, of course, you'll need to do the calculation yourself to see if it's worth the effort, then that's how you get it done. And also, here I find something that is an interesting... could it be a cultural divide or operational divide? Let's see. That's the concept of DIY. Mm. I think in China, for years, or let's say at least for the last 30 years, most possibly thanks to the rather affordable labor cost of this country compared to some of the more developed economies, we don't need to do stuff DIY. You can just hire someone to do it for you. But for those living in economies of very high labor cost, and most likely would somebody do it themselves simply for the fact that it will save you a few more bucks. And Josh, does that align with your general comparison of view on the subject?
I think so. I think that it aligns pretty well.
Yes, some commonly used tools such as screwdrivers of different shapes, we can prepare some of these at home in case we need to fix that real quick. And I think after experiencing several moves, I found that sometimes installations or simple replacement of parts are not as difficult as we imagine.
All right, so try to get your hands dirty and learn a couple of tricks. And it's not that difficult, maybe.